The idea of sustainable investing is getting more and more popular, especially with younger investors. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with the fifth-ranked financial advisor in the country, according to Barron's Magazine. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. The idea of impact investing really started to pick up steam in the 1980s. Remember South Africa's apartheid? Hopefully not really, kind of as a political relic, maybe. Well, apartheid's demise was hastened by impact investors, retail and institutional investors who would not back companies or efforts that in any way benefited the program of institutional racism. A more common impact investment today would be around fossil fuels. University endowments and, again, other institutional investors are pulling out of any funds that back fossil fuel initiatives. As a matter of fact, the World Bank itself has said it will no longer invest in fossil fuel projects starting in 2019. Climate change, sustainability, workplace diversity, these are the areas of interest where people are putting the power of their money.
And just to kind of bust the trade-off myth, you know, head on, we published a piece in 2016 called Sustainable Reality that found that sustainable equity mutual funds had higher or equal median returns with equal or lower risk than traditional mutual funds. 64% of the time.
Coming up now, we have two experts in the field of impact investing. One is a 30-year veteran of this approach. He started with anti-apartheid. And the second is at a major financial and investment institution. And here we go.
My name is Mark Curtis. I'm a managing director of Greystone Consulting, a part of Morgan Stanley in Palo Alto, California.
Great. My name is Lily Traeger. I'm an executive director and director of the Investing with Impact platform across Morgan Stanley Wealth Management.
Thank you both for joining me today to talk about impact investing. We had a previous show about this, but your scale is larger than that, and you have some new data that I think will help us tee things up. But Mark, if I could start with you, please, just lending some of your expertise and legacy in this area of impact investing. Could you just kind of tee that up?
Sure. My involvement in impact investing began in the mid-'80s. Helping the student associations at two local universities withdraw their funds from the endowment to follow an anti-apartheid investment thesis.
And you mentioned students there, which is a great play back into the some of the data that we're going to talk about today, the report that we're going to go into. And Lily, that's really kind of your swing zone, isn't it, as the director of investing with impact over there at Morgan Stanley?
Yeah, that's right, Jason. My job is amazing. I get to work with leaders like Mark Curtis, amongst other financial advisors, and really get the privilege of, you know, speaking with individuals and institutions on the issues that matter to them most and help to identify and curate investments that are aligned with their values or mission or impact objectives and sustainability goals.
What are some of the values that have been identified as most interesting to investors? Are they supply chain concerns? Are they labor concerns? Things like that?
Every single client is unique and will have a unique set of considerations, and it's our job to meet them where they are. So one of the areas that perhaps is quite obvious is around climate change, right? And thinking about what will happen to the global population as it continues to rise drastically, and what are the impacts as it relates to climate change, right? Excessive weather events, carbon needs, energy needs, water needs. How does this translate to an investment opportunity? So while this is both a value in terms of seeking to adapt and mitigate to climate change, it's also an investment opportunity as well as a risk. And so we seek to work with our clients to position them to, you know, take advantage of that opportunity and mitigate risk. We also see interest around faith-based investing. So whether that's Catholic or Christian or Muslim or Jewish, right, we work very closely with clients that are interested in thinking about how their religious mission and tenets of the faith translate to investment guidelines. And certainly in the social bucket, a lot of interest and demand around diversity, right? How do you empower communities to achieve broader diversity, both at the corporate level, as well as in thinking about who's actually managing or running investment strategies?
As a client, I've identified the values I'm hoping to impact. Mark, where do you get involved in the deal flow here?
Our clients typically fall into two buckets, or two profiles. One would be nonprofits, endowments and foundations. The other would be high net worth individuals. On the idea or the question around what is the thesis they're investing for, think about mission alignment.
Okay.
So if you're trying to identify what does this mean, think about a nonprofit or an organization. What is the mission of that organization?
Right.
And then the investment thesis would be aligned with that mission.
Okay.
So that helps, you know, try to define what it is we're talking about, how broad this topic is. How broad is that? On the individual side, it could be rather diverse. I think sustainability is obviously the one that people would think would come to mind first and foremost. The interesting thing that came out of our survey was the amount of people that want to invest to impact the economy, poverty, employment, issues like that as well, which sometimes may not be one of the investment theses you would think about immediately.
You finding more interest in this type of investing overall in your experience? I mean, is the money coming in more and more each year? Is it compounding?
If you look at our study,
yeah,
the investable pool for this, the liquidity available for this went up 33% just in 2 years. And I think it's an interesting metric that the last time we did the pool, we defined the investable amount to be $6.5 trillion, and today it's over $8.7 trillion.
Mm. It's a hockey stick of interest, I would say.
Yes.
Which of you would like to speak to a little bit to the demographics? Is it you, Lily?
We actually worked with a leading survey research firm called Brunswick Insight to survey 1,000 active individual investors. This included investors across all age groups, really 18 to over 70 years old. And so we essentially worked to understand what are the preferences, where are we seeing demand, where are we seeing some new data points, again, in this 2017 survey, which was an update from the 2015. And what we found is a couple of things at a high level, right? We see broad awareness and interest in sustainable investing is growing. So in 2015, when we first released this survey, there was 71% interest across individual investors in sustainable investing. In 2017, we saw that jump up to 75% interest across all individual investors. And of course, perhaps no surprise to everyone listening today, millennials and millennial investors really continue to fuel that growth. So again, in 2015, we found 84% of millennials were interested, so a higher percent than kind of the average individual investor. And in 2017, that was true as well. 86% of millennials are interested in sustainable investing and are likely going to be the drivers of, the continued trends that Mark spoke about in terms of increase in assets invested in this manner in the future.
One of the findings in the study that kind of stood out to me a little bit, and I wonder if you can help me understand it better, is that the younger investors want more proof of performance. What exactly does that mean? I mean, we all want performance on our investments, right? Why would that be any different?
Basically, what we found is that more than half of all investors, about 53%, still believe that sustainable investing requires a financial trade-off. And millennials even had a higher degree of that belief, about 63%. But among those who believe there is a trade-off, right, we saw that they are actually more likely to have made sustainability-oriented investment decisions, that is, to have actually allocated dollars to this space. So perhaps, right, even though this kind of misconception remains, for some investors, the importance of impact cannot be understated. And just to kind of bust the trade-off myth, head on, we published a piece in 2016 called Sustainable Reality that found that sustainable equity mutual funds had higher or equal median returns with equal or lower risk than traditional mutual funds 64% of the time. And evidence is really growing that shows that companies that have better ESG, environmental, social, and governance criteria, outperform their peers. And it's not just, don't just take our word for it, right? There have been Harvard Business School studies, there have been others that have really said, look, if you just focus on financial returns and don't factor in social and environmental issues, you're actually missing out on a really good opportunity to make some profit.
That's kind of a fascinating point, actually, because I think a lot of employees rely on index funds via 401ks and things like that. They're not leaning in, if you will. Do you find that to be the truth, Mark? I mean, that's a pretty substantial return on activism, in a way.
Well, let me pile on behind Lily here. A snapshot of companies we did in 2015 with strong women leadership, women in leadership roles, had a return on equity of 10.1% versus 7.4% for those without.
Mm-hmm.
Racially diverse companies outperform industry norms over 35%. So I think that one of the issues for somebody who's been doing this for a long time is there's that skepticism as to what his mission alignment is. Is it maximize the returns of a portfolio, or is it also the impact part of the investment thesis?
Mm-hmm.
What we're finding, and what Lily has also referenced, is that we believe that we can execute on this without having to suffer that trade-off.
That was Mark Curtis. Mark is number 5 on Barron's list of top 100 financial advisors in the country. He's worked in Silicon Valley for 36 years and has extensive knowledge in the sustainable investing field. We also had Lily Traeger, who is Morgan Stanley's Director of Investing with Impact. For links to their work and research, go to the story that goes with this week's show. It's at KGORadio.com. Coming up after the break, we have the second portion of our broadcast interview with these sustainable investors who are seeing a rapid increase in impact investing.
Let me ask a question. On your consumer behavior, is impact now part of your decision criteria?
I'd have to say yes.
Okay, let's take a step further. The workplace now. Are you more likely to work for a company that you think is a good corporate citizen? And specifically here in Silicon Valley, where we have a young workforce, average developer is 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what's that behavior. They're twice as likely to buy a product that expresses that. They're 3 times more likely to work for a company that is central to the ethics of that company.
Putting your money where your morals are. That's next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.